Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is our happy hour brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. My happy place. We will be back there live for our first show of the fall coming up on Friday, September 6th. And I'm very excited about that. It is Cape May's, of course, a full-service resort, conference center, and top beach destination wedding venue. Visit GrandHotelCapeMay.com for more information and to book your stay today and mark your calendar for Friday, September 6th. I'm going to play a clip for you of James Carville. So James Carville, as you know, is not – there's a story going around. Seymour Hersh, who is the investigative journalist who was the guy who wrote the story how the United States intentionally blew up that pipeline, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, and blamed it on Russia, all right? He's a very, very important undercover journalist, or investigative journalist, I should say, going all the way back to the Vietnam War. He has a piece today talking about how, yes, Barack Obama pushed Joe Biden out of the race. As I told you, as exactly as I was telling you for all those weeks, I didn't have the investigative journalist chops of Seymour Hersh, but instead I have the political instincts that I have, that I possess, which I bring to you. And I knew, and I told you, Joe Biden would not be able to withstand the onslaught of Barack Obama. And it started as far back as October of 2023, when David Axelrod went on that tweet storm after that weekend with the Obamas, and it never relented. And Joe Biden never stood a chance. That's why I kept predicting to you he would not be the candidate. And I kept saying that, even though people were telling me that I was crazy. But I told you, Joe Biden would not be the candidate. He could not withstand that. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, too, and that's this. If they don't think Kamala Harris will win, Kamala Harris will not be the candidate. You can doubt me, but I have a very good track record on this stuff. And what I'm seeing right now is a candidate who's enjoying a very early media glow, but who has said a lot of crazy things in the past, and all those crazy things are coming out. She's unlikable. I mean, just looking at the fact of how badly she did in 2020 in the presidential race, how badly she did running for state attorney general of California, eking out a win against a Republican by less than 1%. She's not well liked. She's not well liked within Washington. Former staff members, staffers hate her. So if she's going to lose, they're going to yank her out too. They are not going to let her stay in and lose. They didn't do all this just to lose. Carville is a guy who's lectured Democrats on keeping away the white, preachy, liberal women who tell you not to eat cheeseburgers. Kamala Harris is literally the white, preachy, black woman who tells you not to eat cheeseburgers and wants to ban them. Here is Carville on MSNBC. Take a listen.
To beat a skunk at the garden party. This is too triumphalist, okay? This is everybody's giddy. I look at the coverage and it's great, and we're just, if I had to write a play about what I think it's going to be like, it would be entitled The Ice Pick Cometh, okay? Get ready, they're coming, all right? And it's good, everybody should feel good and liberated and everything else. But if we don't win the election, we haven't done anything. We haven't changed the temperature in America, we haven't changed anything. And I think the vice president, I hope that, you know, her campaign is getting ready. I hope they listen to my friend and fellow New Orleanian, Don Brazil, who actually, I think, has the same kind of view of politics that I do. And they're coming at us, and they're going to keep coming. And this kind of giddy elation is not going to be very helpful much longer, because that's not what we're going to be faced with.
So let's turn to the Karens for Kamala, shall we? A bunch of kooks got on a phone call and they started lecturing all these white women with celebrities like Connie Britton and Pink and other people to how to win over BIPOCs. These are people of color, apparently. These are, again, this is exactly what Carville warns about. Stop sounding preachy. Stop sounding like you just left the faculty lounge. Talk like real people. People don't use terms like BIPOC. They don't use terms like Latinx. But the left never learns. Let's begin, Matt, with the one kook that I emailed you. I texted you the clip of this woman. This is a white woman who was on the call, the Karens for Kamala, as the actress Connie Britton put it. She is a she's known as Mrs. Frazzled, and she's known for talking to her audience as if she is speaking to 5-year olds. She has a TikTok account. And she covers an array of topics in her teacher voice on TikTok, where she boasts 1.3 million followers. This is one of the women who went viral during a women's Kamala call, a teacher turned influencer. Take a listen.
Oh, no. Catch a bubble, Uncle Norm. I think you said an inside thought out loud. Huh. Is him wearing nail polish a big problem or a little problem? Oh, no. Does it hurt your body or your heart? Oh, my goodness. Is he putting the nail polish on your hand? Is he saying, I have nail polish and you don't? Oh,
macaroni cheese, everybody freeze.
Uncle Don, no one wants to take your gas stove. No, friend, they just want you to know about your gas stove. Do you see how it says natural gas? Yeah, they just want to put a little warning sticker on your stove so that you know that it actually means methane gas. Yeah, the one making the world warmer. Listen, how did you feel about your speech? Oh, I thought it was unique, just like everyone's family is unique and everyone's choices are unique. Uh-uh, catch a bubble. It is important to be kind, even when someone thinks differently than you do. Telling the girls that they've been told diabolical lies on their special day is not kind, friend. Staying in your lane means minding your own beeswax and focusing on what you're doing. Did someone need help kicking? Okay, so Harrison needs to worry about Harrison.
Okay, so you can tell how annoying she is, and she's one of the people on the call, along with a bunch of other crazy people on this call, the Karens for Kamala call that took place. This is all about trying to get people of color and other people to be influenced by white women. There's the one clip from Grabian, I think you have, of that woman. Here's another one. And again, this is, you're going to hear the term BIPOC, because people don't talk like this in real life, but they do talk about this way in liberal world, in kooky lefty world. Take a listen.
Ariel Fodor, affectionately known as Mrs. Frazzle to her combined audience of over 1.5 million followers, is here to help gentle parent us through this election.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. I am so honored to speak today. I am like shaking to just be among such incredible company. We are here because, as if you were here earlier, you've heard BIPOC women have tapped us in as white women to step up, listen, and get involved this election season. This is a really important time, and we all need to use our voices and influence for the greater good. No matter who you are all influencers in some way. So tonight, I'm going to share some do's and don'ts for getting involved in politics online and navigating the toxicity that comes with it. And spoiler alert, as much as the toxicity can come from the outside, it can come from us too. So first, don't isolate yourself. We can do our best work when we're in community together like we are tonight, because the toxic feels smaller when we support each other. But don't make it about yourself. As white women, we need to use our privilege to make positive changes. If you find yourself talking over or speaking for BIPOC individuals, or God forbid, correcting them, just take a beat. And instead, we can put our listening ears on.
God forbid.
So do learn from and amplify the voices of those who have been historically marginalized.
Let's stop it. And we'll rewind it like 15 seconds or so. So you see, this is exactly what I mean. You get preachy feminist wackos to go out there and speak on behalf of the campaign, and then you think this is how you're going to win people over. It's exactly the opposite advice that Carville was giving. Carville's advice was sound like ordinary people and don't make it all about gender. In fact, he was angry when he talked to Maureen Dowd and said, you know, there are like 48% of us who vote are guys, and it'd be nice, you know, if we could actually be part of the conversation and you treat us a little bit. But this call is exactly the embodiment of the opposite of that. Let's get a bunch of feminists on a call to tell all these white women how they should all go and talk to black women or people of color, and don't lecture them. Don't never correct them. You see what I mean? It's an America where if more people heard this, they would say what we say, which is these people are freaking nuts. And I don't want these people in charge because they're crazy. They're absolutely certifiable in the sense that they view every single person as a person in a box, whatever your category is, whatever your whatever. And they don't view you as a person. You're just a woman, or you're a person of color, or you're this or that. And then they go out there and they belittle and they mock and they're condescending in their tone, and they think they know everything, and they're just annoying people to be around. All right, keep going.
If you find yourself talking over or speaking for BIPOC individuals, or God forbid, correcting them, just take a beat. And instead, we can put our listening ears on. So do learn from and amplify the voices of those who have been historically marginalized, and use the privilege you have in order to push for systemic change. As white people, we have a lot to learn and unlearn. So do check your blind spots.
Check your blind spots.
Your algorithm, believe it or not.
More than 160,000 people joined the White Women for Kamala Harris Zoom call. As Michael Schellenberger points out, I thought this was a joke at first, but it's not. Kamala Harris's campaign is segregating its volunteers by race. These are the people who spent decades smearing their opponents as racists. Why do people tolerate this degrading treatment? Matt Stroller tweeting out, I got randomly put into White Guys for Harris WhatsApp group and then was almost immediately thrown out after I said a whites only group was nuts. This is apparently common now. This is what they're doing. This is who these people are. Let's dip in here to the animatronic Joe Biden from the Disney Hall of Presidents as he's speaking about Supreme Court reforms.
Vision of life. He did. He brought it to life. Over 50 years, the LBJ Foundation has convened this symposium to reflect one of the crowning achievements, the Civil Rights Act of 1964. A defining moment that has since opened doors of opportunities for all Americans, regardless of race, sexual orientation.
All right, we'll come back into this when he starts talking maybe about the court reforms, actually. And this is why when you hear these kind of things going on, you realize that you would be putting in power somebody who has no problem using race for their own political advantage. But if you had a whites only group for Trump, I mean, could you imagine that? White guys for Trump, white women for Trump. I mean, could you imagine? But the left does this crap all the time. They constantly do this. Now, Carville's point about let's not get giddy here over this, his point is that this is a little blip you're getting. Kamala Harris is getting a little blip during a honeymoon period, and then it is going to go down. But don't tell that to CNN. CNN's very excited. CNN's Harry Enten getting his mind blown by positive polling for Kamala Harris. I have bad news for Harry Enten. This is not going to last. Take a listen.
Now she's at the top of the ticket, and I think opinions of her are moving rather fast. So this is the net favorability ratings. This is from an ABC News Ipsos poll that literally dropped just within the last 24 hours. I'm going to be interested if other polls follow. So this is net favorability. It's favorable minus unfavorable. Look at this. A week ago, she was at minus 11 points. Look at this. She's jumped all the way up to plus 1 point. Trump has actually dropped a little bit from minus 11 to minus 16, but that movement isn't so wide compared to this 12-point movement. And I think the real question is, will this stick in other polling? Because Democrats absolutely love this, and it gets back to Steve's point that opinions on Harris, I think, are much more malleable than they were for Joe Biden, where you just had that consistently negative rating. Here, this is the first time I've seen a politician running for national office with a net positive rating. I don't know since when. I mean, it's something unforeseen, at least over the last 4 years.
And that is quite a spread there.
Yes, that is quite. Democrats love this spread.
I'm sure they do. All right. Voter enthusiasm among Democrats. Speaking of Democrats, what did that look like and how did that change?
Yeah, you know, opinions are one thing when it comes to the individual candidates, but enthusiasm. We know that Democrats were suffering from low enthusiasm, so enthusiastic about voting. So this is Democrats for Biden or Harris. Look at this. Back in February, just 62% of Democrats said they were enthusiastic about voting for Joe Biden. Look at this now. Woof. Up to 88% now say that they are enthusiastic about voting for Kamala Harris. That is a huge jump. That is a 26-point jump. Look at Trump during the same stretch. Republicans for Trump. It was 80% in February. Look, it's still fairly high at 82%. But compared to February, where Trump had this 18-point advantage, now we see Harris with a 6-point advantage. It's definitely for Democrats. Game on. They are very enthusiastic. We see it in the money being raised. We see it in the volunteer signs. And now we're seeing in the polling as well.
Now, Biden, where Kamala Harris is basically exactly where Biden was before his debate disaster. In other words, losing to Donald Trump. Look, you're going to see positive national polls coming out, no question about it. You're going to see, and every story has been positive, and everything has been about gushing, all of these things. But don't expect it to last. And that's literally Carville's point. Here, let's jump into Biden here as he's talking about the court and going after the Supreme Court.
The United States has immunity for potential crimes he may have committed while in office. Immunity. This nation was founded on the principle there are no kings in America. Each of us is equal before the law. No one is above the law. And for all practical purposes, the court's decision almost certainly means that a president can violate their oath, flout our laws, and face no consequences. Here's what Justice Sotomayor, Supreme Court Justice, wrote in her dissent, and I quote, "Under the majority's reasoning, the president now will be insulated from criminal prosecution, orders a Navy SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival, immune. Organizes a military coup to hold on to power, immune. Takes a bribe in exchange for a pardon, immune. In every use of official power, the president is now a king above the law." Just what Justice Sotomayor wrote in her dissent.
Just because she wrote that doesn't
Folks,
make it true.
Just imagine what a president could do in trampling civil rights and liberties given such immunity. The court's being used to weaponize an extreme and unchecked agenda.
All right, so you get the point. This is what the Democrats are doing. They want to make the Supreme Court the issue in this election. Good luck. Good luck, honestly. Good luck. It's not going to work for them, and I'll tell you why. It's too heady. It's too in the weeds. It's too cerebral, and it's not going to be an issue. Most people don't think about the United States Supreme Court. They just don't. You know, the story we heard earlier in the 3 o'clock news when they said that McDonald's is losing money because people are not going to McDonald's. What do you think the average family cares more about? The Supreme Court or the fact that they can't take their kids out for freaking Happy Meals? Nobody cares about the Supreme Court. Yes, I mean, obviously, you have a bunch of people who are upset by the Dobbs decision. They're voting Democrat anyway. So if the goal here is to try to move the needle with voters who are undecided or voters who are kind of like, you know what? I don't like Trump that much, but I don't like Harris that much. But I like Trump's policies better. But oh, the court. What Supreme Court decision really affects their life? Honestly, even if you're somebody who you want an abortion really bad, you really want an abortion one day. That's your goal. Your goal is to have an abortion one day. You can still have one in America. So even if that's your primary driver that gets you out of bed in the morning, like, oh, I hope one day I can do that. You can still do it. So at what point can you argue that the Supreme Court is really going to move the needle to somebody that's going to be the driving issue in this race? To the point where they're going to spend so much energy and oxygen on this. Now, you know what this is a lead up to, of course. This is a lead up to trying to get the corporate media on board to talk about, and they will do it, to talk about the Supreme Court, to then try to box out any coverage of the economy, Kamala Harris's flip-flops on her wacky lefty stances that she has had and embraces and who she is, and, of course, anything about Donald Trump's record. Then this is what they're trying to do. And as part of that now, you've got Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, who's dying. He's like, beg, please, pick me, choose me. I want to be your vice president. I want to be your running mate, Kamala Harris, please. So Josh Shapiro won't shut up, and he's going out there spouting the same stuff, that Donald Trump will have no guardrails, blah, blah, blah. Josh Shapiro should know Donald Trump would be a whole lot better for his state, considering the fact that Donald Trump supports fracking, but he won't say those things. He wants to be picked. He's hoping he gets the nod. So here's the Pennsylvania governor. Let's start with cut one.
He's told us what he wants to do, and he tried to do it last time. Now here's where it gets real dangerous. The last time, when he got in there, he didn't really know what the hell he was doing. He had dangerous ideas, but he didn't exactly know how to carry them forth. Think about how much more dangerous it is right now. He packed the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court of the United States just ruled that he is literally above the law. That the laws don't apply to him anymore.
First of all, why is Josh Shapiro using a Southern accent? Can someone explain that to me? Why does he sound like he's running for governor of Louisiana? I don't know, but it doesn't sound like he knows the law. This is exactly what he did after they opened 95. Do you remember? God himself came on down and said, Joshua, open this roadway. And I said, yes. What's with these phonies with their fake accents when they get going? Nobody thinks you're from the South, Josh Shapiro. I don't know where. I don't even know where he was speaking here for this, but. And I said, God help me, we will open 95 if I have to lay my body down and let trucks drive over me. Like Superman the movie. This here roadway will be reopened. Like, who are you? It's not, you don't sound remotely like that. I don't even know why you're. All right, go ahead.
Guardrails that protected all of us before from Donald Trump. Those guardrails are gone.
Gone like the guardrails on 95 that were struck in flames that I single-handedly put out and single-handedly rebuilt with mine own hands.
That should scare the hell out of every single Pennsylvanian, every single American. Here's where it gets even more dangerous. He's told us what he wants to do. Y'all go crack open that Project 2025.
Y'all go crack it open now, you hear? Crack open that Project 2025. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Dude, you're the governor of Pennsylvania. Would you chill out, please? Huh? You're embarrassing us, man. Chill out. Crack open that 2025. What is it, a bottle of wine? It's not even the year yet. We're not even there. I can't crack open a 25. It's not 25 yet. He also has another message for Donald Trump. Stop attacking our workers and ripping away our freedoms and stop S-talking America. Ooh, he went there. He's dropping the S-bomb. That must mean he's really tough. The governor's dropping the S-bomb. Look at little Josh. He's all fired up. He's so grown up now, he's cursing in a southern accent. Cut two.
You could not have a clear contrast between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Think about it. 4 years as president. Guy stacks the NLRB with a bunch of corporate folks who have tried to rip away your rights every step of the way. We can't go back to that, and he can't defend that. This guy went to the Supreme Court of the United States, a place where Kamala Harris, as Attorney General in California, went to stand up to expand the freedoms for the good people of this nation. Donald Trump went to court, the Supreme Court, and asked to make this nation a right-to-work nation. Let me be clear, I'll never let Pennsylvania be a right-to-work state, and Kamala Harris will never let this nation be a right-to-work nation. And it's not just in these big halls of power that Donald Trump has tried to screw over our nation. Donald Trump, as president, literally tried to put a federal rule in place to make it so when you tip your waiter, your waitress, your bartender, that they wouldn't get to keep those tips. This is who this man is.
What?
Screwing over the little guy for the corporate interest. And
he's
so
trying
I got a message to Donald Trump.
Oh, here we go.
Stop talking America. Stop attacking our workers. Stop limiting our freedom and start standing up for righteousness, for goodness, and for the American people. The person who is best equipped to do that is
he cursed. All right, thank you. He cursed. He said the S word. I'm so proud of little Josh. He's all grown up now. Donald Trump is saying he doesn't want to tax the tips of service workers, which led to the endorsement by the largest union group representing service workers in the state of Nevada. I know, shocking. But instead, Josh Shapiro is claiming that Trump is trying to not let them keep their tips. I don't really even know. But look, it shows you the desperation. Shapiro really hopes he's going to get picked. Problem, though, is that you have a lot of crazy people in the Democrat Party who don't like Jews. I don't know how that goes over for him. I really don't. I mean, these are the people that are defacing the Liberty Bell and protesting. They don't like Israel. They don't like Netanyahu. They don't like Jews. I don't know how that would work out. Yeah, and he's supposed to be a moderate. Yeah, he does. He sounds nuts. Shapiro sounds like a crazy person. I've said now if Donald Trump gets in there, he's going to execute every one of you. He'll use fire from his eyes and burn your corpse into a shiny little old pile of dust.
You're starting to sound like James Carville.
They all kind of morph into him. He will destroy you like 95 was destroyed before I was able to repair it with my bare hands, blindfolded with both of my hands tied behind my back in an hour. That's how good I was. Yeah, Shapiro, the great moderate of Pennsylvania, sounds like a lefty lunatic yelling with a fake southern accent, dropping the S word. It's a good look for you, Josh. Good look. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli if you'd like to weigh in today on everything we are discussing. So my buddy Matt Kelly sent me a story. They were featured in USA Today. There was a whole thing about roofing. And Emmons Roofing and Siding was quoted in this great piece by USA Today, all about understanding your roof and the components of a roof and the shingles and everything else. So good for them. They are nationally recognized for their amazing work, but they are a local family-owned company right here in our backyard. And I'm so proud of our relationship. You know, I've used Emmons at my home for over 7 years on various different projects. From the roof, siding, windows, doors, you name it. And that's the beautiful thing about Emmons. Not only do they do great work, they're going to give you 10% off all the projects that they do. 10% off Anderson window replacement, new doors, windows, the beautiful roof that will have a lifetime warranty with that Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business. And Emmons, being a local family-owned company, they serve our entire region. No gimmicks. There's no gimmicks with Emmons. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And Matt and Stephanie pride themselves on making sure the work is done right and that you're happy and the work is done on budget as well. All you got to do is go to their website at emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com, or call them at 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677. Trust me when I tell you, the great people at Emmons pride themselves on making sure the job is done to your satisfaction. And there's a lot of contractors out there. A lot of them take your money, not do the job. They'll just kind of, you know, disappear. But that's not how they do things at Emmons. At Emmons, they do it right, and you'll be happy. So 856-885-6677. Don't forget the inflation relief discount of 10% off. 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson windows, doors, and so much more. The team that I trust, EmmonsRoofing.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Scioli Show, on your schedule, from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Don't forget Josh Shapiro, by the way, was the guy that went after the Little Sisters of the Poor. You know, he took nuns to court, to force them to pay for contraception. Josh Shapiro is not a moderate. And our friends over at the Pennsylvania Family Policy Council, they had a piece on this. You know, despite a Supreme Court victory in 2016, the Catholic nuns serving the elderly were back at the Supreme Court after Pennsylvania's Attorney General Josh Shapiro brought another lawsuit attempting to force them into violating their religious beliefs. The Little Sisters of the Poor are an order of nuns in the Catholic Church who care for the elderly. They serve a vulnerable and often forgotten community in our society, one that is especially hit hard by the pandemic. This was during the pandemic, obviously. And Shapiro took the nuns to court to try to get them to pay for contraception. Because he's crazy. I mean, he's a typical Democrat. Little Sisters of the Poor have already been taken to the Supreme Court before when the Obama administration sought to force them to pay for abortion-inducing drugs. After years of litigation, they won their case in 2016. However, the ruling did not thoroughly resolve the issue because it only allowed the Little Sisters to be exempt from paying for contraception under Obamacare, believing that contraceptives are abortio facientes that violate God's law. The Little Sisters could not be involved in providing contraceptives, even if they were not the ones who paid for them. In 2017, the Trump administration issued an exemption that would allow for the Little Sisters to have full religious freedom and not be forced to violate their conscience. In response, Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro took the Little Sisters back to court to strip away the protections given to them, protections for which they have been fighting for in court for nearly a decade. He claims to be taking the Trump administration to court as he advocates for medicine for women. However, the facts could not be further from the picture. Little Sisters of the Poor v. Pennsylvania is about defending the Little Sisters' deeply held religious convictions. And the Pennsylvania Family Policy Institute worked very, very hard to help the nuns and defend the nuns. But this is who Josh Shapiro is. So just remember that if he does get the nod to be Kamala Harris's running mate, we'll bring all that out, too, and make sure everybody knows that. Larry is on the turnpike right now. Larry, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Rich, how are you?
Good, Larry.
You got to give me that Josh Shapiro with the Southern accent one more time. I'm driving down the road here, and I just flipped you on, and I heard you with that accent, and I never laughed so hard ever. Just got to give me a little more of that to make my day.
I appreciate that, Larry, but did you hear the clip earlier about the carpet doesn't match the drapes?
Yes, I did. That's just when I turned you on.
All right, good. So you have caught the full show. All the important stuff you've got today, buddy.
You are the man. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you, brother. You drive safe. I appreciate it. I told those nuns, I said, you shall pay for condoms whether you use them or not. You nuns and your birth control. I'll make sure you pay for those little condoms for everyone, whether you want them or not. Hell no, you don't get to say you're a virgin, not in my state, which is Alabama, Sylvania. Actually, Josh Shapiro sounds like the part of Pennsylvania that everybody always says is like Kentucky. You know, they say Pennsyltucky. Whenever he gets like that, that's what he sounds like. I'm the governor here of Pennsyltucky, somewhere between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, though they all hate me there. And yes, I do sound like Foghorn Leghorn. That's because the only time I can ever do a Southern accent, everything, it always sounds like Foghorn Leghorn. So there you go. Michael's in Ridley. Michael, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I've actually since relocated to media, but I'm doing great.
Glad to hear. So what'd you call in for, besides just giving us an update on your relocation, which we're happy to know about?
Well, I'm calling in to basically remind people that Vice President Harris really needs to take a good look at Governor Shapiro under the magnifying glass, because his office, if we all remember, used our taxpayer money to settle a sexual harassment case within his administration. And then when he was questioned about it by our Senate Republican president, Kim Ward, he basically told everybody to consider the source. So he treats female leaders poorly. He basically doesn't allow sexual harassment cases to add up in his office. I mean, Harris should be horrified and try to be distancing herself from him rather than, you know, trying to cozy up with him.
It's a very good point, Michael. And thank you for reminding us of that. There's a story, and you have a great day, buddy, and drive safe, and congrats on relocating.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There was a story actually in the Inquirer a couple years ago about this. I had to look it up. Oh, last year, Governor Josh Shapiro met privately with female senators as questions swirl about sexual harassment allegations against a top aide. He met with female lawmakers to discuss the resignation of Cabinet Secretary Mike Vareb. The woman who filed a sexual harassment complaint against him earlier this year sat waiting outside. So I imagine all that will come out as well. Failed musical theater actress Nina Jankowicz is, in fact, a government censor. Remember they tried to do this disinformation board where the government would decide what's information, what's not, and then would turn around and then would silence you using their friends in the corporate media and big tech, the unholy triad of government, corporate media, and big tech, to silence any thoughts they don't like? Well, as they put it, as writing over at Reason.com, J.D. Tichilli put it, imagine you're a prominent disinformation expert once hired to head a government board to fight alleged untruths, but unceremoniously dumped from the position when the board was dissolved amidst public outcry. Smeared oh so cruelly as the would-be chief censor of a government body tasked with policing people's speech, you sue your critics for defamation to set the record straight. And then the judge tosses out your case, saying you and your stillborn board really were created to engage in censorship. This judge is an excellent, excellent judge. Fox contends, and I agree, that Jankowicz has not pleaded facts from which it could plausibly be inferred that the challenge statements regarding intended censorship by Jankowicz are not substantially true, wrote U.S. District Judge Colm Connolly in his July 22nd order to dismiss. On the contrary, the judge said, as noted above, censorship is commonly understood to encompass efforts to scrutinize and examine speech in order to suppress certain communications. The Disinformation Governance Board was formed precisely to examine citizens' speech and, in coordination with the private sector, identify misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation, the judge said. By the way, this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VANARIA, VeneriaDental.com. That objective is fairly characterized as a form of censorship, the judge said. As a result, her claim is dismissed in its entirety. The case, as you remember, involved a Biden administration attempt to create a disinformation governance board under the Department of Homeland Security that would scrutinize the seamy corners of the internet and your Facebook account in search of the three horsemen of naughty speech, misinformation, which are characterized by the government as unintentional falsehoods, disinformation, which the government considers to be deliberate falsehoods, and malinformation, which are inconveniently shared truths. And yes, the federal government does use these terms. The head was supposed to be Nina Jankowicz, the failed musical theater performer who was frequently touted as a disinformation expert. After pushback from civil liberties advocates, Republicans, and people who've read George Orwell's 1984 book, the board was unceremoniously terminated and Jankowicz had to seek employment elsewhere. The problem is that while there's undoubtedly a huge amount of BS in circulation on the internet, the board was supposed to police all that. And the reality is that it's not the government's job to do. Most arguments are about interpretations of facts and levels of confidence among people who can't be trusted as arbiters of truth, even and especially if working on behalf of governments. In fact, philosopher Dan Williams pointed out something important. He said, all communication across all contexts, whether news, opinion, journalism, science, misinformation studies, political debate, and so on, involves countless decisions about what information and context to include, what to exclude, how to present information, which narratives and explanatory frameworks to embed the information in, and so on. Any attempt to divide this communication into a misleading bucket and a non-misleading bucket will inevitably be biased by pre-existing beliefs, interests, and allegiances. And to this day, the most prevalent source of false information is that put out by government. Well, take the Hunter Biden laptop story, for example. That's a great example of that. I still have the tweet bookmark from Jen Psaki from October of 2020, in which she says, 51 former national security officials all say the Hunter Biden laptop is Russian disinformation. The very bodies that the government sets up to be the arbiters of truth, they lie. They lie about abuses of power. They lie about how inconvenient facts might cause disputes with other states. And they lie about screw-ups embarrassing to those in office. Nina Jankowicz herself repeatedly referred to Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop as Russian disinformation. Nina Jankowicz has been quite the purveyor of disinformation herself and walking, talking evidence of the danger in letting the government create a truth police. In fact, The Spectator wrote a great piece about this 2 years ago. The truth about Biden's new disinformation czar. The president's misinformation board is disturbingly Orwellian. And it goes on to talk about her earliest works, doing things like when she tweeted, quote, back on the laptop from hell, apparently, Biden notes 50 former NATSEC officials and 5 former CIA heads that believe the laptop is a Russian influence op. Trump says Russia, Russia, Russia. That was one of her tweets. She also tweeted about Hunter's laptop, writing, quote, not to mention that the emails don't need to be altered to be part of an influence campaign. Voters deserve that context, not a fairy tale about a laptop repair shop. In August of 2020, Nita Jankowicz promoted a podcast on disinformation with none other than Christopher Steele. Yes, Christopher Steele, the intelligence agent behind the infamous Steele dossier. And Jankowicz continued her laptop skepticism in March of 2021 when she tweeted out, I see, that's the intelligence community, has a high degree of confidence that the Kremlin used proxies to push influence narratives, including misleading or unsubstantiated claims about President Biden to U.S. media, officials, and influencers, some close to President Trump. A clear nod to the alleged Hunter laptop. She never offered any corrections to her assertions, never on Twitter or anywhere else for that matter. But she worked very hard to discredit the Hunter Biden laptop story and also to amplify the Steele dossier story. This is exactly the kind of person who would have been in charge of the government's disinformation board to use their power to determine for you what's information and what's not. Remember, I've told you that the battle for information is the number one battle of our time right now. Controlling the narrative, deciding what is true and what is not true. And the government has no place in that. None. None whatsoever. This is where we throw around the term Orwellian, but it matters. The administration is attempting to create a ministry of truth. That's what George Orwell wrote about. With a director who seems herself to be a total partisan hack. Somebody who wanted to use the power of government to tell you what's real and what's not real. And then to silence anybody who was trying to push out information that the government deemed to not be truth. Nevertheless, Jankowicz took umbrage at criticism of her role, particularly by staff at the deep-pocketed Fox News, and filed a lawsuit against the network last year. Her complaint, as detailed in the judge's order to dismiss, specified 3 categories of repeated false claims about Jankowicz. She claimed that Fox hosts and guests built a narrative calculated to lead consumers to believe that she, Nina Jankowicz, intended to censor Americans' speech. Said that Jankowicz was fired from DHS even though she had resigned due to harassment arising from Fox's defamation, and said that Jankowicz wanted to give verified Twitter users the power to edit others' tweets. Inconveniently, though, for Jankowicz, Judge Connolly found that 36 of the 37 specified criticisms were leveled at the board as a whole and not her. Further, many statements were expressions of opinion, which are not actionable under U.S. law. Importantly, many comments made by Fox News staff were, the court found, true. As mentioned above, the mission of the Disinformation Governance Board and of Nina Jankowicz was censorship. The description of her departure from DHS was accurate because being dismissed from a position is fairly described as being fired from that position. And the complaint itself quotes Jankowicz confirming in a Zoom session that she endorsed the notion of having verified individuals edit the content of other people's tweets. Jankowicz's attorney did not respond for comment. It's worth noting, though, that the Disinformation Governance Board may be gone, but government officials' desire to police speech lives on. The Foreign Malign Influence Center is proposed with coordinating the federal government's continuing efforts against disinformation, with all that that implies. Given its inherently subjective nature, what constitutes disinformation and which disinformation or propaganda actually poses a threat can quickly take on a political valence. If government officials are going to keep trying to police speech, they should grow thicker skins for when they're called out over their misconduct. But Nina Jankowicz loves weaponization, and she loved the idea of suing for all these reasons. All right, listen, Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, my great friends over there, you know, relationships matter. And we drive, our family car is the XC90, and I love the XC90, and you're going to love it too. And you're going to love the deep discounts of up to $13,176 off the Volvo XC90 for qualified buyers. Plus, take advantage of Cherry Hill Volvo's 2024 model year sell down. Cherry Hill Volvo is the most accessible Volvo dealer to Philly and South Jersey, and they are our studio sponsor. That's right. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. There's not another Volvo dealer anywhere who is our studio sponsor, and that matters to me, and it should matter to you. And you'll love the XC90. It's a big, beautiful SUV. It's fast. It's stylish, and it is one of the safest cars on the road. And with that third row, it is the absolute best family car. That's why it's our official Zeoli family car. And you can enjoy those discounts of up to $13,176 off the Volvo XC90 for qualified buyers. So what are you waiting for? Relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. They prove it every single day. So go see them today. You'll have an incredible experience, the luxury experience you deserve. Only at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
Thanks for listening to the Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.